Did anybody, any pigs try to fly this since we last met? Any rocks tried to float?
Rocks float, pigs fly. Yeah.
Remember?
No, he wasn't here.
You weren't here?
Most important Bible study we ever had, and he wasn't here.
Where was he?
He's the one that needed
Colorado.
To hear.
Colorado.
Oh, he's... pigs fly, Miss Brian.
So I'm not awake, and he didn't know I was gone.
Well, I knew you were gone because I had to teach your Bible study.
How'd you do?
Now he bitches about it.
In my show?
It was standing room only.
Yeah, we were pretty crowded.
I guess that tells the story. I made a fortune on parking.
What we emphasized Friday was... We're still in verse 1 and 2. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? It's a rhetorical question. God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And the use of the word we is critical, and it's missed in English language, but it's an indefinite pronoun which emphasizes the quality or the nature of the thing, the subject. And it's how can you would say how can a pig fly? How can we that are dead continue in sin? How can a rock float? The only way that you continue in sin is because you don't acknowledge that you are dead. It's not that you're trying to die. That's idiotic. You died at the cross. The human race died at the cross. And since then, there's been a usurper masquerading to every man that's ever lived. And that usurper is the instead of Christ. And he's been masquerading as you all these years. Now, and sin isn't a moral issue. Sin is a technical legal word that means you've missed the center point on the exact center point on the bullseye. I mean, it includes, obviously, tons of moral issues. But it's a fact. You who are dead to this idea of constant self-realization, how do you continue in it? If you're not, and the only answer is, you don't know that you died on the cross. You don't know the finished work of Christ. Do you understand me?
I was just sitting here thinking, I really wish that I'd heard this when I was 12, 13, 14 years old. Because this makes sense as opposed to all the years I spent thinking that there was this bullshit group of people who had defined what was right and wrong, sin. And maybe they worked for a make-believe, or maybe it was a real God, maybe, who had this list of things that you should and shouldn't do that were sin. And these hypocrites were trying to force me, the government, the teachers, the parents, everybody, were trying to make me conform, and the reaction was, screw you, who says you're right? I'm not going to do it. And I wasted like 50 years rebelling against something that didn't even exist.
Yeah, but the point is, you God wrought all your works in you.
Well, I don't regret it. I'm just saying.
Well, you just said you regret it.
No, I don't regret it. Don't give me any shit.
You said, I wish that I had heard this.
I just wish I'd heard this when I was 12 or 13.
My point is, you heard it. Listen carefully.
Okay.
You heard this exact same thing in 1984. 1983.
I didn't
hear it. Well, I'm telling you, I know. I said these exact words.
That's why I said I wish I had heard it. I didn't hear it. It wasn't me. It wasn't real. I didn't believe it. Know it.
Because you are using that which is cursed to try to gain that
right.
Which is blessed.
I know. But that's
a good question because it's the fact that you didn't hear it, went through everything you did in your life, allows it to be meat to you as opposed to religious.
I don't regret it. I'm just looking back now and realizing I was fighting against, tilting against windmills, really. Fighting a strong man.
Yeah, can you imagine if you had heard it and still gone the, you probably wouldn't even be talking to you right now.
Let's go to 1 John 1. Again, you've got to hear this. This isn't a historical document. This is a document written in the present tense so that you can see that this is what must happen in you. It's not something that you read about. It's not a historical document. And so listen carefully. That which was from the beginning, that which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked on, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Now, you might have heard it, but did you see it? Did you handle it? Did it become, did this mystery work out in you, or were you still living these two lives? You have a religious life outwardly and inwardly. You're a ravening wolf. Your religion is so false. It's not one bit of importance what you do outwardly. It's absolutely meaningless. God looks only at the religious worship that's going on in you as the temple. Everything else is just BS. It's acting. It's And don't look out there and say, those people are acting. You're the one that's acting. You're the hypocrite. You're the one that has the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. You're the one that has the leaven of Herod, which is seeing lack. And you're the one that has the leaven of the Sadducees, which is not believing in the power of God. So until that's internalized, there can be no repentance. You'll keep, you know, it's Don Quixote. You're fighting a windmill. Got it? So, again, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked on upon and our hands have handled of the word of life, for the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us or into us. It has to be lived. It can't be talked about. Well, it's got to be talked about in order to be lived. But the testimony is always, you know, martyred. It's the death. Your death, his life. But the mind can't comprehend that. So it's all part of this Corinthian heresy. We have celebrity selling. We have God's purpose was to make you nice and nice person. You smile a lot. It's just pure hypocrisy. And nobody wants to be you. Nobody wants to be known as that. So the thing, we're back to this issue of integrity. So there's just one of you, not two. And you better be either one all the way or the other all the way. But this middle ground where you're trying to be, but you're inwardly, you're totally something else. It's just, that's what the Bible calls lukewarm. Because you're lukewarm, he'll spew you out of his mouth. What? Something's going on with Gary.
Watching this thing with Mark Griffith dying, and he was talking about interviewing John Wayne on a set, and he's talking to John Wayne, and they say, okay, you're ready for your scene. So John Wayne goes from where he is to the scene, and it was the same guy. He was the same in the scene as he was while he was talking, and some other actor.
So there's the real great actors never act.
Yeah.
All right.
That's all.
I don't know why, but my reaction to what you just said was, last night we were talking about death, and my reaction to what you just said was, we talked about the Reaper, and my reaction was, when I see the Reaper, I hope that I run and jump into his arms.
All right. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship was with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This is the only way. Otherwise you have happiness. Happiness is dependent on something. You try to... Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Well, you can pursue it till hell freezes over, but until there's joy, you'll never have it, because you'll constantly, all it'll be is you want more stuff, more things. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. What? So we spend all our lives analyzing darkness. You don't get rid of darkness by analyzing it. You turn the light on. And the only way you can, the light switch is repentance, and repentance only. There is no, I'm gonna somehow, give you some heebie-jeebie and you'll have light. No, you have to internally repent. Leave you behind before there can be any light. As long as you're on the road to self-seeking and self-improvement and self-change, you can't have light. And you have seen it. My God, you go up and down and up and down and up and down.
That's because you always want your happiness on your own terms. Or you want to be the God still. Sets up for religion.
If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So you can't, all these efforts to have oneness and unity are bullshit. Because the basis of union, the basis of oneness, is two people walking in the same light. And that can't be done unless there is 100% repentance, leaving every part of you behind. Everything else. Anytime somebody gives me some saying, oh, we're going to do this or we're going to do that, my BS detector goes way off. Or anytime anybody ranks one thing above another. I think all of you know, I could care less about anything that we are doing outwardly. What has to be maintained above all else is integrity. And that means there's never a ranking of anything. And yet all we do is rank.
Oh, we got something important.
No, you don't.
Oh, we got a schedule. Well, you made the damn schedule up. Oh, we've got an agenda.
No, you don't. And you're still locked in time.
I just realized a trick of my mind that takes place in Bible study. My mind will hear this and it will accept and agree and not resist. And it's like,
put it in the armory.
Yeah, it's a trick there. Yeah, I'm with you, man, all the way. Oh, yes, sir, that's the truth. There it is, hot dog. And then that means nothing.
Because you put it in the closet.
Yeah, well, it doesn't do any good that the mind agrees, because it's a dead issue.
Right, it's meaningless. It's how you live your life that's important.
Right.
How you think, what you respond to, what stimulus you that affects you. Everything outwardly is meaningless.
The only thing that the meaningful comes in, and the tests are real. The test is what do you do about the poor? What do you do about widows and orphans? What do you do about meeting need that's right in front of you? You can't worry about need that's over there. Oh, we're going to go raise money to do this. Not, no.
You used to have a little thing you said about you pray for love and God sends you unlovely people. What do you do when that happens?
I looked at Jesus and the dove of peace flew into my heart. I looked at the dove and he flew away. Same thing. That's why people shouldn't negotiate with me. Because I'll just say, here, you can have it. I don't care. Take it.
I like schedules.
I know you do, because it gives you importance. You create them.
I like them.
Well, that's a sin. You haven't redeemed the time.
Schedules are fine until...
No,
you go off schedule and then respond. That's what you respond to. Kill somebody who's screwing up the schedule.
If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So, you hear this. Okay, now I'm sinless. No, you're not. Mm-hmm. You're an earthen, cracked, broken vessel. He is sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. It sounds contradictory, but it's totally boom. Okay, now go to chapter 3 of the same 1 John.
And he's talking about sin there.
Sin.
What we are. He's not talking about.
Well, he's talking about both. This one will kind of hurt you. Behold what manner... Chapter 3, did I say that? Chapter 3, 1 John. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons or children of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. In other words... You can never be justified. That's what it means. And yet, man, how we love to try to be justified. Beloved, now we are the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That's not talking about way over there. That's talking about on a second-by-second basis as you see him in something. You know, now everything is put under his feet. Everything. So that means everything is exactly operating exactly as it should. There's no... The only question is, but we see not yet all things put under him. But what do we see? That there's something to do? No. Whenever we see not yet all things put under him, we see Jesus. So it's never our business. There's never anything to do. This is dangerous. Because it forces you always into faith instead of an agenda. It forces you always into faith instead of a schedule. And to say you love schedules, it's you have to confess that as sin. Because schedule makes you orderly. Now, I'm not going to say, you know, God will use everything, but the question is, will he use you? That's the only question.
Because are you available? Available means it's just an invitation.
All right. Yeah. And every man that hath this hope in himself purifieth himself, even as he is pure. In other words, that's the automatic. By repentance, when you see that you've gone away from the mystery, then by repentance you're back on the inertial guidance system that's within you. that can't, as long as you repent, then it always has to come back to the right place, the right track. But repent not how you think of repentance. Oh, I'm going to do it better next time, or I'm going to change this way a little bit. You can never know what the next step is. And so if any attempt to know what the next step is to pollute the way. Like you're trying to steer a spacecraft. If you tried to steer the spacecraft, what would happen? Well, you would totally miss whatever the target was, because none of your senses can see what's going on. But there is an inertial, internal guidance system that has nothing to do with you, and thank God. Whoever committeth sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And we know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. In other words, the whole idea, and in the verb tense, if you're doing it habitually, and again, take away the moral option out of the moral weight of the word sin. The minute that you think you're not sinning, then you have sinned tremendously because you've made him a liar. So the only hope is what he said over and over. Abandon yourself. Take no thought for your life. Take no thought for what you're going to do. Take no thought for what you're going to eat. Take no thought for what you're going to wear. But what do you do? Well, no, I've got to plan this out. Well, you know, that's the nature of the beast. But you've got to catch yourself at some time and say, wait a minute. All right. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. We're running around fighting the works of the devil. We think, that's what the religion does. It's just goofy. Because the moment you enter the fight, then you're doing the work of the devil.
That's why the fight's there.
Huh?
That's why the fight occurs and begins, because you invite him.
Well, yeah, you the moment you resist, you empower what you're resisting.
Yeah, you're saying that exists, that didn't die on the cross.
Right. And so the only thing, what you're doing is you're giving breath to the son of the devil in you.
Right.
Because you're making it important.
It's a very righteous thing to do.
Well, no, it's not. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. Jesus Christ cannot sin. It's impossible. Yet he is born in you. So if there's any sin, if there's any missing that perfect mark, or if there's any, I'm becoming selfish, or I'm starting to think about me, or all I'm doing is ministering to myself, then you know that the only way out isn't to stop. It's not to stop doing it or trying to resist it. It's to ignore it. You don't owe. Every problem comes because you think you owe your mind or your emotions something. Anybody ever try to exhort Harry when he's on a Harry trip? What happens? It makes him go on the trip further. And that's why I said, for his sake, I hope that changes so that I'm not the only one that can exhort him. Not because I have anything against Harry, except I like to pick on him. But do you understand? If I'm the only one that can exhort you, then you're in trouble.
What does exhort mean?
Exhort means to return to the rest, you wayward soul, you friggin' idiot.
Cause you to put your head out of your ass.
Yeah. Exhort means put your head out of your ass?
It means...
Oh, you call them on it.
Yeah.
You get served, okay.
Now, so from now on, it's your job to exhort Harry when
no,
you. Okay, in this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. So the test of all these things, they're interesting, is how you treat the poor. Do you love unconditionally, without condition, your brother? Are you, if you're not, you're judging, therefore you're not in him. It's if you have anything in your life, not just people, but anything, any place, any circumstance that you haven't forgiven from the heart, then you're not in him. So, I mean, these are all the cosmic tell. I mean, the tells in the cosmic poker game. And so you don't need a great deal of discernment. I mean, an ant can discern it. Except the evil one can't discern it. So simple. The life is only the result of two things, the cross and the seed. And we'll talk more about that tomorrow. The seed of Christ is total humility. He will never, ever, ever overpower you. You want him to, but he won't. And so he can never occupy where you're trying. He can't do it. Not because he, but someday when at the end comes, he said, now will I arise. The seventh angel stands and says, the mystery is completed. Time is no more. That's when he arises. And everything else becomes absolute dust, ashes, and less than ashes. He alone has immortality. Only that which proceeded from eternity can return to eternity. You and I didn't proceed from eternity. We are just the vessel for he that did proceed from eternity. It's not very complicated, is it? It's so simple. Any response?
It's so simple, and there's nothing to do, and the labor is to recognize that and not resist, and stay in the simplicity of the rest. That's simple.
And we think, but our minds say, well, if I don't take action here, then I'm going to die. God has forsaken the earth because I need to do something. No, he's testing you to find out whether you will take action. If you are, then... rest. And then faith, which worketh by love. And love never has anything to do with you. You're not the subject of the sentence. Love makes no reference to itself. What?
Amen.
No. What else?
I'm glad I heard all this.
Well, say whatever's there.
Well, I know. Well, okay. It's like in the mornings, it's like, oh, man, it's a surprise. Like, I just feel so guilty. It's like, oh, and it's like, I'm so grateful every time. It's like exactly what I was fighting against is exposed.
Father,
put to rest.
Just Father, forgive me.
Yeah, Father, forgive me.
That's why everybody used to think I was reading their mail.
No, really.
Take a big guy.